Hey there, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Rubberneckin' Podcast. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Alicia.
And we have slightly recovered since the big birthday.
I think we're about there. I think that...
I'm ready for a vacation.
We're always ready for a vacation.
Where do people from who work at Graceland go on vacation when people come here for vacation?
Disney World?
Disney, yeah. You didn't have to coax that out of me. What's your
favorite vacation destination? My favorite? I would probably... I haven't been to Hawaii in a really long time. And I think that would probably be my
Would you go see some of the Elvis sites if you were in Hawaii?
Perhaps, depending on what island I decided to go to.
Or if I decided
to like hop around.
I just naturally assumed that you're going to go to Oahu.
Maui. Maui's a great spot.
It is. Another great spot was Memphis during the birthday.
It was, and we had a lot of folks here. And
we sure did.
Even one of our special guests, Peter Goralnik, this was the first time I actually ever met Peter. And after
working here
for so long, it was kind of like, wow, I can't believe he's actually here.
Right.
And
we've read the books.
Reading the books and, it's been a while since he's been in Memphis.
It has been.
And so we actually got to sit down with him and talk a little bit. What I was most interested in learning about was where did his inspiration come from? Like, why did he decide to write about Elvis? I mean, he's done so much extensive research on one person. And mm-hmm. I was kind of like, what sparked that? So we got a chance to talk to him and listen to it. It's very interesting what his influence was and why he wrote about Elvis. So let's take a listen to his interview.
It was the blues. It was totally the blues. And when I was about 15 or 16, I just fell into the blues. A brother of a friend of mine went to the Newport Folk Festival. He came back with some records, a whole bunch of different records, and among them were some blues records. And this friend of mine, Bob Smith, and I just got completely absorbed in the blues. This is when we were around 15 or 16. And that just took me everywhere. I mean, I liked Little Richard, I liked Elvis, there was no passion or self-awareness in it for me. And then through the blues, it was really through the blues that I fell into Elvis's music as well. The blues led me anywhere, everywhere, gospel music, country music. I mean, it was kind of like discovering Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard. To me, it was the same thing as blues. But it was blues that took me there first. I went south for the first time in 69. I came to Memphis for the Memphis Blues Festival. And it was just one of the most thrilling things in the world. Because the whole way down, it would be like we'd pass Brownsville, and if you're going to Brownsville, take that right-hand road. I mean, it had all these lyrics for every city, every town, and Minglewood, everything. And coming into Memphis, I mean, it was like I knew Memphis through the music, but I'd never seen Memphis before. And the Blues Festival, which was phenomenal, was out at the Overton Park Shell. And that, had all these reverberations of Elvis's first major appearance really almost virtually his first public appearance. So I was kind of freighted with history, but I had written about Elvis before I came down here. Really my interest in music had spread out a good deal. I mean, because this is when I was in high school, and the blues thing, I mean, the first blues singer I saw was Lightnin' Hopkins, and this is in 60, 61. But blues, what led me directly to Elvis was while he was in the army, those two albums came out because they ran out of new material because the colonel wasn't going to give any new material away until he got out of the army and could record on his own. So they put out a date with Elvis and for LP fans only, and that had most of the Sun sides on it. And I had never heard those. I mean, they just weren't played in the Boston area where I grew up. So that was when I first heard Mystery Train and That's All Right, and whether for the very first time, it allowed me to concentrate on them. And by this point, you see, I'd heard the originals. I knew Little Junior Parker's Mystery Train. I knew Arthur Crudup's That's All Right. So it wasn't a question of looking for a substitute, but I heard it and I thought, oh my God, Elvis was a great blues singer. This is just, this is incredible, this music, Good Rockin' Tonight. And so that was what really turned me on. So it was sort of a late coming. There was stuff I had liked before. I liked Hound Dog, I liked Heartbreak Hotel, but this is what totally turned me on.
Well, that was a fascinating
I know, isn't he
story
fascinating?
That he's just full of Elvis information. He's like a Elvis encyclopedia.
He really is. And he, I mean, he's done the research. He's very articulate, knows what he's talking about. But I guess that's also why he's a professor at Vanderbilt
this
right
is
now,
true.
Too.
He's so got the smarts going
it
on.
It kind of makes me want to be smarter every day just yes. listening to Peter. So very interesting. And hey, maybe we'll share, because that's just a part of the
just
interview we
a
had.
A small part. We have like over 2 hours with him.
So maybe we'll share some more of his interview, maybe on Graceland.com. A video, or maybe on another podcast. You'll just have to wait and see.
Yes, stay tuned. Well, thanks everybody for joining us for this week's Rubbernecking Podcast. We'll see you next week.